was going to tell you a story about Ehud. He was the first James Bond. First, I'll set the story up. We all speak about what happens when you don't keep God's law. And this is a story about the consequences, you know, at the time when Israel did just that. God allowed a foreign king to oppress the rebellious children of Israel when each man was doing what seemed right in his own eyes. After they had been under this evil king long enough to really feel it, they cried out to God, and he gave them a larger-than-life individual to deliver them. So we'll start this story. It's in Judges chapter 3, starting in verse 12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. This shows that once again, children of Israel did evil and ended up in service to a foreign king. They'd had 40 years before that of, you know, peace, but now they're right back into it. Verse 13. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went up and defeated Israel, and took the possession of the city of palms. Verse 14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. They served him as you'd serve an enemy, in voluntary servitude. Not a voluntary service like what's done here at the church. Verse 15. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. The children of Israel were under oppression from a foreign king for 18 years. It says that they cried out, which literally translates, means earnestly sought out God. When you look up in Strong's, you'll find that Ehud was the left-handed son of Gera, has the implication that he was a man of an elite fighters from Benjamin. Only twice in the Bible do you find the word left-handed, and both times is in reference of men of Benjamin. Gera was the fourth son out of 10 that came from Benjamin, the youngest son of Rebekah and Jacob. Their claim to fame is mentioned in Judges 20:16. Won't need to turn there. I'll read it for you. Judges 20:16. Among all the people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Every one of them could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. This must have taken much training and practice to perfect no small feat. I mean, I was pretty accurate, but man, I missed every once in a while. And I know there was more than 700, so there were some that couldn't quite cut it. They were probably very good, but to me that's pretty amazing. Now, back to Judges 16. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubic in length, and fastened it under his clothes, his right thigh. What they figure, that's around 9 inches long. And double-edged means it's even more deadly. This was a top invention, I'm sure, and easy to hide. Not too obvious what he was doing, anything other than what was expected. verse 17. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. And it says that Eglon was a very fat man. Tribute, according to Strong's, meant required gift, sometimes translated as a gift to deity. Verse 18, and when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. Verse 19, but he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king, he said. Keep silence. And all who had attended him went out from him. In verse 20, so Ehud came to him now. He was sitting upstairs in the cool private chambers. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Perhaps he is telling Eglon that he was not a deity with the comments about God. I mean, don't know that for sure, but it's just kind of what I'm wondering since he mentioned God there. Verse 21, then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Verse 22. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed around the blade, and he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. So he did a good job on that. But what more do you expect from a James Bond character? And in verse 23, then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. This was a pretty stealthy move, something that James Bond would do. And of course, at that point, he jumped off the porch to a hanging rope ladder that was attached to a helicopter, and he got his Uzi out and was shooting at the bad guys down on the ground. I mean, that's what happened, right? I mean, I just don't make stuff up just to make a story better. But we'll read on, just see. Maybe I misread it somewhere. In verse 24, and when he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they had waited. In verse 25, so they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the doors to the upper room. Therefore, they took the key and opened them. And there was their master fallen dead on the floor. The word embarrassed means disconcerted or rattled, according to Strong's. In verse 26, but Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed through the stone images and escaped to Seirah. So, maybe that's really how the story ended, or, you know, how he really escaped. I thought my way was a little better, but oh well. If that's the truth, that's the truth. And verse 27, and it happened when he arrived that he blew a trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Verse 28, then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at the time, they killed about 10,000 men of Moab. All men of valor, not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. Fortunately, it lasted only as long as Ehud, their James Bond, was their leader, which was 80 years. How do we stay strong when we do not have strong leaders in our government? We have seen how quickly things slide from morality in the country in a short time, just these last few years of the last leadership. We are called out to follow a different leader, and our allegiance remains in a higher government. We look at the Church of God and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, for leadership and guidance. We cannot allow ourselves to be drawn into or downward spiral of our nation, where once again every man does what seems right in his own eyes. Not following the law of God, if we quit going to church and stop keeping the holy days and the Sabbath, how long before we would sink? Probably not too long. We must stay connected to the vine. We will have the best government and leader possible with the return of Christ. We already have the Constitution, the laws, and the way it will be governed from the pages of the Bible. And we are called to be citizens now. We must not let ourselves be pulled into the way of all around us who tout, I won't judge you for what you believe if you don't judge me. We are called to judge right and wrong and cannot do what seems right in our own eyes. Our belief system has to come from the Holy Bible.